El Deserto de los Tartaros. Yevgenia met Nero Tulip in the lobby of the Hotel Daniele in Venice. He was a trader who lived between London and New York. At the time, traders from London went to Venice on Friday noon during the low season just to talk to other traders from London. As Yevgenia and Nero stood engaged in an effortless conversation, she noticed that her husband was looking uncomfortably at them from the bar where he sat, trying to stay focused on the pontifications of one of his childhood friends. Yevgenia realized that she was going to see a bit more of Nero. They met again in New York, first in a clandestine way. Her husband, being a philosophy professor, had too much time on his hands, so he started paying close attention to her schedule and became clingy. The clingier he got, the more stifled Yevgenia felt, which made him even clingier. She dumped him, called her lawyer, who was by then expecting to hear from her, and saw more of Nero openly. Nero had a stiff gait since he was recovering from a helicopter crash. He gets a little too arrogant after episodes of success and starts taking uncalculated physical risks, although he remains financially hyper-conservative, even paranoid. He'd spent months immobile in a London hospital, hardly able to read or write, trying to resist having to watch television, teasing the nurses and waiting for his bones to heal. He can draw the ceiling with its 14 cracks from memory, as well as the shabby white building across the street with its 63 window panes, all in need of professional cleaning. Nero claimed that he was comfortable in Italian when he drank, so Yevgenia gave him a copy of El Deserto. Nero did not read novels. Novels are fun to write, not read, he claimed. So he left the book by his bedside for a while. Nero and Yevgenia were, in a sense, like night and day. Yevgenia went to bed at dawn, working on her manuscripts at night. Nero rose at dawn, like most traders, even on weekends. He then worked for an hour on his opus, Treatise on Probability, and never touched it again after that. He'd been writing it for a decade and felt rushed to finish it only when his life was threatened. Yevgenia smoked. Nero was mindful of his health, spending at least an hour a day at the gym or in the pool. Yevgenia hung around intellectuals and bohemians. Nero often felt comfortable with street-smart traders and businessmen who had never been to college and spoke with cripplingly severe Brooklyn accents. Yevgenia never understood how a classicist and a polyglot like Nero could socialize with people like that. What was worse, she had this French Fifth Republic overt disdain for money, unless disguised by an intellectual or cultural facade, and she could hardly bear these Brooklyn fellows with thick, hairy fingers and gigantic bank accounts. Nero's post-Brooklyn friends, in turn, found her snotty. One of the effects of prosperity has been a steady migration of streetwise people from Brooklyn to Staten Island and New Jersey. Nero was also elitist, unbearably so, but in a different way. He separated those who could connect the dots, Brooklyn-born or not, from those who could not, regardless of their levels of sophistication and learning. A few months later, after he was done with Yevgenia, with inordinate relief, he opened El Deserto and was sucked into it. Yevgenia had the prescience that, like her, Nero would identify with Giovanni Drogo, the main character of El Deserto. He did. Nero, in turn, bought cases of the English bad translation of the book and handed copies to anyone who said a polite hello to him, including his New York doorman, who could hardly speak English, let alone read it. Nero was so enthusiastic while explaining the story that the doorman got interested, and Nero had to order the Spanish translation for him, El Deserto de los Tartaros.